minus 10 seconds. The countdown will come directly from the timing and firing trailer.
10, 9, 8, 7, 6, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1, 0.
Quantel, opt-in, opt-in, go tape.
This is Publius bringing you A Step Farther Out, your weekly radio message from the Man and Atom Society.
Well, all right, folks. This is Saturday, the 30th of September in the glorious future year of 2023. And since it's 19 hours UTC, you've got a step farther out. And the first order of business is mail call, mail call. Yesterday when I visited my post office box on my way to the Dallas Penn Show, but that's another story for another time, I received, I picked up a parcel. A parcel, ladies and gentlemen, and beings of all descriptions, a parcel from SDFer LCD, who, as it turns out, lives only a few zip codes away from me. In Arlington, Texas, if I'm not breaking any confidences, the largest city in the world by population, which has no public transportation whatsoever. What does LCD have to say? Hello, Publius. I apologize for the atrocious nature of my handwriting. It does not even deserve the ink that I am writing with. Iroshizuku Shoro, or Dew on Pine Tree. And I can't tell you, from looking at the letter, whether he's writing with a fountain pen or with one of those roller balls that fills with fountain pen ink. Although I suspect a fountain pen, there's a bit of variation in the line shading, although not in width. Anyway, that's not important. Anyway, I managed to purchase a lot of 12 of these fantastic Soviet-made Electronica MK-54 calculators from early 1980s Kiev. They don't work, but they run on AA's if you would like to try anyhow. They are definitely cool-looking. I'm going to have to see if I can find a manual of some sort. Might have to take soldering iron to one, if it's just dead caps or something. I also included some fun stamps I have. They are from 1968 USSR and 1969 Bhutan. I'd love to have them back at some point, if you don't mind. They are not worth much, but do have sentimental value. The stamps, not the calculator. Well, now that I know that these things exist, I can probably find them for myself at the stamp show that's going to be a couple of weeks up in Grapevine. No, these are really cool. There's the three Bhutanese stamps are arguably perhaps even cooler than the Nepalese stamps, which are phonograph records. These are, I mean, for me at least, they're really nifty. They're artwork of themed around the Apollo landings. In other words, various steps in the mission, including, you know, astronauts standing on the surface saluting the flag, although completely unrealistically with the Earth visible in the sky. But they're lenticular, so they give a very pronounced 3D effect when you look at them. Then the USSR stamp is of, what it shows is Alexei Leonov doing his spacewalk with his film camera, motion picture camera. And then there's an attached non-stamp pane with text on it describing the Soviet space program up to that point. The axolotl sticker is from my wife. Interestingly, the sticker is the shape of a human brain. She also sends her regards. Well, that's about it for now. Hoping this letter finds you well and in good spirits. Thank you for all your great content on Anon Radio. See you in comm. Sincerely, LCD. Well, many thanks go to LCD, and when I send those nifty stamps back to him, I will also send some of my Atomic Power to the People stickers, I think. That's what I tend to do. Now, for those who wish to see Anyway, so for those who wish to see the parcel contents, I just pasted into Calm a link to the, to today's Anon Radio Archive page. As a matter of fact, you know, I put up an ASFO weekly post for each of these shows, and I put in photos and other things. Anyway, it's sdf.org/l/1am. So that sdf.org/lima/1alpha Mike. Anyway, what else is there to talk about today? Well, let's see, a couple of weird things that I've seen driving around the Metro mess that don't have much to do with the actual driving, which is a miserable, miserable experience. This was something special. I saw a billboard advising me to bank boldly. No, thank you. Boldness is the last thing that we need in banking. A car company's billboard advertising its, quote, all-powerful lineup of SUVs. All-powerful? I mean, what do they do? They'll carry you and your stuff from place to place. So far as I'm aware, that's really the only power that they have. I guess you could also use them, too, as a form of illumination. You know, the headlights. I remember going on a camping trip where we used the headlights on the car we'd rented to illuminate the campsite. Other than that, I mean, I don't know that what powers they might or even should have. I really question whether all-powerful is a good description. See, and now for some items from the news. I've read that Microsoft is talking about building nuclear power plants because of the awesome electricity bill of their so-called AI. Now, I will remark that I do think that companies, I've said it before, companies which operate big power-intensive industrial things like data centers should be working on getting nuclear power plants built to provide the power for those data centers in an economical and responsible way. Google should have done it a decade and more ago, but instead what Google has gone and done is purchased carbon offsets to offset the environmental damage of all the power that they've used. Well, you'll be familiar with me from now on. Bullshit. That's the word I want. Bullshit. You know, if you're a practicing Roman Catholic, an indulgence from the Pope at least makes sense, right? Because you believe, if you're a practicing Roman Catholic, that the Pope has the power to bind and loose. And so the Pope can presumably issue you a little slip of paper which explains that the punishments of whatever sins you have committed are alleviated. Fine. But carbon offsets? I mean, there's nothing backing them. Not really. You know, there is a decided lack of consistency and really comprehensibility in what is and isn't able to claim to have offset carbon dioxide emissions. I mean, I'm not afraid to describe it as being mostly a scam. But then on the other hand, I see Meta Platforms is preparing to deploy quote AI unquote based chatbots, which is what they're good for, on its Instagram and Facebook platforms, quote, in order to attract the youth. I'm not exactly sure why the youth would be more inclined to use Facebook and Instagram if they were aware that the apparent people that they were interacting with might not actually be people at all, but just computer-generated chat, you know, text. I'm not really sure. Perhaps what they intend to do is give the youth the ability to use these chatbots to generate long texts that they're too busy or in too much of a hurry to type up for themselves. I mean, I'm not sure, but that's the indication that I get from another article in the newspaper I saw. Really weird thing to have an article in the newspaper about. Discussing the crushing effect on fantasy football leagues of ChatGPT, which is apparently now being used to create trash talk to an extent that humans are just not capable of. Just immense volumes of really crushing, really scathing, you know, posts on X, formerly Twitter, and so on. I do kind of wonder about X. You know, you've got SpaceX. Okay, it does a thing. Whatever the thing is, it's in space. I'm surprised that Mr. Musk hasn't tried to rename Tesla to Car X. But, you know, I guess he just calls Twitter X because it doesn't really do much of anything. Right? X. It does... Eh? Trigg wants to know whether Catholics have gotten rid of indulgences, and the answer is no. There are still lots of things that you can do that have plenary or partial indulgences attached to them. They were originally created during the Crusades, owing to the fear of knights going on crusade that they would die violently in a distant country without having been able to make a good confession or what have you. And so there were various pious works that you could do, and including going off to the Holy Land and visiting the churches in the Holy Land, that would gain you an indulgence or a remission from the punishment due to sin. Not from the sin itself, which is absolution, which is a different thing. That's what you do in confession. Anyway, but in the 1500s, there was a unjustifiable practice of just saying, well, you know, donating money to help build a church, specifically reconstruct St. Peter's Basilica, which was a matter of consternation all its own, because when it was decided to reconstruct the basilica, they basically just knocked down the old one with no attention whatsoever given to the relics of the past and the tombs of the saints and so forth that were there, really messed things up and caused a great deal of disgust all throughout the Catholic world. And then you had the Pope going around soliciting people for money to build a new one and saying, well, I'll give you remission of the punishment of sin in exchange for your contribution. And a lot of people were really disgusted by that. But the old form, where you visit a certain number of pilgrimage churches or what have you, is still in full vigor. And there are various things you can do, say a novena, that kind of thing. Yes, Alpha Lux is tired of the continual conflation between large language models and general artificial intelligence. Well, so am I. You know, quite aside from the fact, from the question of whether artificial general intelligence is even a thing that can be achieved, which rests largely on the conceptual problem of what even is it. It's certainly a fact that large language models aren't it, and aren't anything like it, and don't resemble it in any way other than the very trivial one of being able to fool a human into thinking that they're talking to another human for a brief period. But there are a lot of people who think there's a lot of money to be made. I keep hammering on this. There's a lot of people who think there's a lot of money to be made by calling it artificial intelligence. And that's all. Right. You know, I hear these things saying, oh, well, we've, you know, it's enterprise scale, ChatGPT based, and this, that, and, well, the stuff they're talking about doesn't make sense. All right, it just plain doesn't make sense. That, oh yeah, you're going to get what they seem to be trying to do is to invert Thomas Watson's old maxim that a computer must never make a business decision because a computer cannot be held accountable, you know, and say, okay, well, at this point, you know, and this is for business managers, at this point, we've digitized all the information we can possibly gather about your business and its customers and so on. And now we've created this nifty front end where you could just ask ChatGPT, ChatGPT, should I hire people or fire people? And it'll give you an answer, and you can trust that answer. Which, of course, is nonsensical, at best. But that's the impression that I get. That's the market these folks like DataIQ seem to be trying to sell into. But what else do I have to talk about today? Well, gosh, there's a lot of, I guess, political stupidity and incompetence, of which the banner example is the United States Congress being unable to push through its basic function, which is to pass taxing and spending bills to keep things going. And it's doubly stupid, of course, because back in towards the beginning of the year, they had this whole debt ceiling crisis where they made a deal, right? And the deal said what they were going to do when this came up in September. But they've refused, well, specifically House Speaker Kevin McCarthy has refused to actually go along with the deal he made back towards the beginning of the year, which no one should be particularly surprised by. The man has no spine whatever, and he is a captive to the most radical members of his party, who, frankly, don't want the U.S. federal government to operate at all. And I would argue that to a great extent, this is because they are aligned with or directly in the pay of people who, well, they don't like government because it stops them doing things to the peons. Right, it stops them doing whatever they want. They feel that as wealthy people, and this is the legacy of John C. Calhoun, because they're wealthy, they have a God-given right to do whatever they want to do with their property, no matter how it affects people who aren't wealthy. And given the extremely unbalanced nature of the wealth distribution in the U.S., basically their property is everything. What else is there to say? Well, so we're looking at $100 a barrel oil. And even at that point, the Wall Street Journal is remarking on the fact that U.S. shale drillers aren't drilling more. And I've talked about why that is last, you know, in past shows. Simply put, the shale oil industry, right, the oil and gas drilling industry using hydraulic fracturing in shale formations has lost a really colossal amount of money in bankruptcies and so on. And so the drillers have to, at this point, they have to pay their investors or they're not going to get any more investment. And even heading for $100 a barrel, it's difficult to get any more investment. Now, it shouldn't be denied, right, that U.S. crude oil production is, you know, I mean, we're looking at 12, nearly 13 million barrels a day. It's as high as it's been, right? It's, you know, that's up from 5 million in 2010. It's equivalent to the peak in 2020. So that's a lot, right? They're pumping a lot of oil. They're just not necessarily getting ready to pump more. Now, again, does this reflect a commitment to getting off fossil fuels? It really doesn't seem to. Meanwhile, you might think that $100 a barrel oil would be an incentive for buying a battery electric car. Maybe, maybe not. Ford has stopped a project to build a battery factory for battery electric cars for political reasons, namely they're being investigated by the U.S. Congress. So the U.S. Congress passed a series of bills, one of which provides for large subsidies for battery electric cars as long as the batteries are made in the U.S. Well, Ford decided they were going to build a battery plant, and they decided to build it as a joint venture with the leader in the field, Contemporary Amperex Technologies Limited of China. And now they're being investigated by the U.S. Congress because the Congress has worries about strategic technology in Chinese companies. Well, this is exactly the last thing you should be worrying about, because they're bringing in the Chinese technology to use it in America. In other words, it's the opposite direction technology transfer that the Chinese, of course, have been doing for decades, where they allow you to set up a factory in their country if you go as a joint venture with a Chinese firm, which can then learn all your technology and then build 100 identical factories and not pay you a dime, right? Ford is doing the same thing with CATL, and somehow the U.S. Congress wants to put a stop to that. Fools. Now, as I say, I don't think battery electric cars are a panacea, but if you're trying to encourage battery electric cars, discouraging technology transfer from the world leader in the technology is not the wisest thing to do. I mean, sure, you might say, well, we want, you know, new technologies, right? We want independently developed technologies, and that's great. But that takes much more time and money, and are the car companies willing to invest it? I have serious doubts, right? The technology that we've gotten for batteries now, lithium-ion batteries in particular, comes from the small electronics market, where margins are much, much higher than they are for cars. With the result, there's a lot more money to put into technology development than there is in cars. But, so political stupidity and irresponsibility reigns. We have a piece here, right, under the title, Europeans Love Green Policies Until Bills Come Due, which illustrates my point that policies which cannot be implemented will not be implemented. Even policies which are difficult or unpleasant to implement will not be implemented. And it also illustrates that Rishi Sunak is the most useless Prime Minister of the United Kingdom since James Callaghan. You may not even remember James Callaghan. He was a complete non-entity. He was the last Labour Party Prime Minister before Thatcher. He was in office only a few months, and of course, it's been basically 100% Tories since then. I don't count Tony Blair as a real Labour Party Prime Minister. He just genuinely is not. He's just a Tory with an L tattooed on his forehead. But yes, last week the UK said it would delay a planned ban on the sale of new gasoline-powered cars and vans up to 2035 from 2030, and ease plans to force households to scrap their gas-powered boilers for pricier but cleaner heat pumps. It also promised never to impose a carbon tax on meat or aviation, two other sources of emissions. Quote, the risk here for those of us who care about reaching net zero by 2050 is if we continue down this path, we risk losing the consent of the British people, Prime Minister Rishi Sunak said, arguing that politicians hadn't been honest with working families about the costs. Well, as you know, I'm not a particularly supporter of any of those policies. I don't think they're particularly good policies or particularly effective policies. But Sunak isn't proposing any alternative policies like building electric street railways in cities, building nuclear power plants close to cities, and piping in heat for distribution to households and businesses. No, he's just saying we're not going to do this and that because people don't like it. Which makes him really, really useless. And it also illustrates how, quote, net zero is just a buzzword with no real meaning. On the same page, we have a thing about the Saudi Arabia said it would agree to far greater oversight of its nuclear activities if it's allowed to enrich uranium. Why is the real question? The plain fact is, if the United States would just get over its insistence that everyone use light water reactors, we would not have to deal with this question of enriching uranium, which is a far easier route to a bomb than trying to reprocess spent fuel from CANDU reactors, which use natural uranium. Yes, they produce more plutonium per gigawatt year than light water reactors, but it's still in the form of highly radioactive spent fuel. It's just idiotic. if the United States would get over this idea that heavy water reactors mean atomic bombs, which is simply not true, then we wouldn't have to deal with the much greater problem of safeguarding uranium enrichment facilities. Let's see. Other useless politicians. Doug Ford, Premier of Ontario. Doug Ford, Premier of Ontario, whose main political qualification is that he was the cocaine supplier to his brother, Rob Ford, now deceased, sometime mayor of Toronto. Doug Ford says, "If I have to hop on a bulldozer myself, we're going to start building roads to the Ring of Fire." Now, what is the Ring of Fire? The short answer is, it's a geological formation, roughly circular sort of geological formation, in northern Ontario, where there are very rich deposits of things like nickel, copper, and cobalt, which are needed for electrical machinery. The problem is it's also heavily forested, there's a lot of peat bogs, and people are really concerned about the environmental impacts of mining. Also, as always with these things, there is another concern on the part of the First Nations people, who mostly inhabit the area, that they're concerned about having roads built into their area because, quite aside from the environmental damage which might occur, and everything from mine tailings to draining and draining peat bogs and cutting down forests, which will, of course, not only release a lot of carbon dioxide into the atmosphere, it also greatly increases the potential for forest fires and other kinds of fires, which you really don't need. They're worried about bootleggers, essentially. In Canada, as in the U.S., alcoholism is a big problem on the res. And there has been a lot of resistance to building roads. In Manitoba, for example, they want to build large transmission lines to distant dam sites, but again, the First Nations people are very resistant to this because they see that as creating a corridor where bootleggers can have better access to their people and bring in alcohol, which really undermines their community. So, the thing is, do we ultimately need to mine these minerals? Well, our alternative is to mine them from asteroids, which certainly isn't happening yet. In the near term, probably we do need to mine a lot of copper, nickel, and cobalt. And yeah, the EU recently has sent around a circular directive describing environmental and social responsibility in procurement of battery materials, saying, you know, you can't just buy cobalt that's, you know, being obtained by child slavery in Africa or something. You've got to look at the environmental and social consequences. And Canada is probably better in those terms than most countries, so it's probably better to get them from Canada than from Chad, but I don't know. It's a tough, rocky problem. And tough, rocky problems are a lot of what I talk about here on A Step Farther Out, which airs every Saturday for half an hour at 19 hours UTC on AnonRadio.net, a service of the SDF Public Access Unix System. Don't forget my other show, Hear Now the Words, which airs at Tuesdays and Fridays at 15 hours UTC. If you'd like to send me some mail, send those cards and letters to Post Office Box 1035, Fort Worth, Texas 76101, United States of America. I'll probably read them out on the air, as I did at the beginning of this show. To support me, paypal.me/PrometheusLives, patreon.com/man_and_Adam, and coming up next...